Good morning. A blessed Lord's Day to all of you this morning. Thank you for joining us as we gather to hear God's word and to receive his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Just a couple things. First of all, we'll be needing some volunteers for Vacation Bible School. And so if you are able to volunteer for that, there is a sign-up sheet in the back to do so. That is coming up quickly, and so we'll need to make sure that we have people in place to take care of that. This morning, as we gather, we will be. This is the Feast of the Holy Trinity. So part of our service this morning is we will be reciting the Athanasian Creed in place of the Nicene Creed. That'll be found on page 319 of the hymnal. I will announce it again when we get to that point. As we gather this morning, before we sing our opening hymn, let us greet each other in peace.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and have just deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent for them.
And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to Him, for He has shown mercy unto us.
Thank you.
with you. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, who has given to us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity, we implore you that you would keep us steadfast in this faith and evermore defend us from all adversities, who live and reigns, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Festival of the Holy Trinity is written in the prophet of Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed are you, ever and greatly to be praised forever.
Our second reading is written in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we know of what we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who is descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess together the Athanasian Creed as found on page 319. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confessing the persons nor describing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated, or three infinites, or three uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, and yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one God, not the Father. One Son, not three sons. One Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal. So that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ,
the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages. He is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into the flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into Godhood. One, not confusion of the substance, but by unity of persons. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Instead of asking, how can a man enter into his mother's womb, perhaps Nicodemus should have asked, if this is what is required, how will God accomplish it? But because he did not, Nicodemus, in our gospel text for this day, shows us the malady that is so strong in each of us, in every one of us, that when we face the things of God, we first look to ourselves, to our wisdom, to our own strength, to our own abilities, to do what is to be accomplished instead of looking to God. And so Nicodemus thinks first, how can a man do this instead of how is it, or if this is required, how will God accomplish it? This is so because it is the nature of sin. The nature of sin is to curve us in on ourselves. The same sin in us that causes us to be selfish instead of selfless toward others also causes us to look to ourselves for what we need instead of looking to God. To rely on ourselves and what we can do in the things of salvation, our good works, our faithfulness, our dedication, even our believing, instead of relying upon God and what he is doing has done for us and for our salvation. And so it is with Nicodemus. He comes under the cover of darkness to learn from Jesus, calling him a teacher come from God. But he has no idea what he is about to learn, both about himself and also about Jesus. Because Jesus is much more than a teacher come from God. And he is much more than the person whom God is simply with. But he is God himself, in flesh and blood, as we confessed. The King of creation comes down into his creation to rescue it. The Almighty God come down from heaven in weakness and in humility in order to raise up his weak and helpless children from their sins and from death. That God would do such a thing is not even on the radar screen of Nicodemus's mind. Jesus must lead him down that road to see both himself and to see God correctly. And the same can be said for us. For what sin has done is not only make us think less of God than we ought, but it has also made us think more of ourselves and more highly than we ought. And so many folks go to church on Sunday expecting to hear of what we have to do to accomplish or to perform in order to please God, in order to be saved. Like Nicodemus, they come to learn, but have no idea what they are about to learn, because sin has warped our thinking. And not just a little, but 180 degrees. And so we now, by nature, fix our eyes upon ourselves instead of upon Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In order to reorient Nicodemus's thinking, Jesus speaks of being born. For there is nothing quite so much that we have absolutely nothing to do with than being born. It is all the work of others, which happens to you, which you receive. All that is asked of the baby when it is born is to breathe and to cry and to eat and to live the life that it has been given. And so it is with the things of God. There is nothing a man can do in order to be born from above, in order to have spiritual life. It is all the work of another. It is all the work of God, by water and spirit. It is life given, not chosen. It is life received, not achieved. But so distorted is Nicodemus's thinking that he just doesn't get it. Even when speaking of birth, he looks to what the baby can do in order to accomplish this. But if we are to be born of God, God must do it. If we are to have eternal life, God must give it. If we are to rise with God, God must first come down to us. That when it comes to your spiritual life, you have actually nothing to do with it. That in response to the fact that we are here today, we can say only thanks be to God. This is a truth that must be revealed to us. For as long as we hope in ourselves, you can be sure that you will hope in yourself. The law of God must first break us down so that we see ourselves rightly and then see our Savior rightly. For only when we have no power do we realize and give thanks for the power of God. And that God would use that power not to condemn us, but to save us. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For here is what it all boils down to. When you just heard that verse, John 3:16, which of course is probably the best known verse of all of Scripture. Did you hear in that verse that it was about what you have to do, believe, or did you hear what God has done for you, giving his only Son a gift received by faith? At the beginning of their conversation, Nicodemus would have heard the former, but by the end, he heard the latter. For God is not just a teacher sent from God to teach us what to do or to show us our potential. He is the Son of God who came to save us from our sin. Come to die our death that we might live. The Son of God came down from heaven that by the water and the Spirit of holy baptism, we might be born again and born from above as children of God. It is all his doing, the one who came to die and rise for us. All his doing, who came down from heaven, that we might ascend to heaven with him. All his doing, so that we do not doubt, but that we rejoice in the gift of his life that is lived for us and has now been given to us. And what is now asked of us is simply to live this life that has been given to us, to breathe the word of God, to cry out in prayer, and to eat and to drink the food of our Savior has provided for us, his very body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. To live the life of Christ and not to return to this death of sin. To repent of yourselves and your power. To repent of your sins and your selfishness. To repent of your wrong focus and pride. And to fix your eyes on Jesus. As St. Paul says, to boast only in him. For what you boast in shows where your faith is. And so we gather here today, as we gather here every Sunday, not to give, but to receive. to receive the life and forgiveness of God through the forgiveness of our sins, to receive the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we might die to sin and rise to new life in Him, to receive the Word and the Spirit of Christ, that we, like Abram, might leave the old journey and journey to the new, a new life not far away, but which has been brought here to us. For your Savior is indeed here for you. And where He is, so is your life, so is your forgiveness, so is your salvation. Thanks be to God that He has given us this forgiveness, this life, and this salvation. Let us live in that life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We hate in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this, our offering, that here in this place, we may continue to proclaim Christ and Him crucified for the salvation of the world. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the prayers of the church. We pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant your church wisdom and charity through your Holy Spirit, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, preserve and defend your holy church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Grant to those members of your holy body true humility in their service to you. Strengthen all members through the word and holy sacrament, that they may be faithful and fervent in their confession. Grant to pastors and leaders of your church wisdom and heavenly grace to bear their office with integrity, that by their faithful ministry, your church may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, grant to our nation a spirit of peace and justice. Bless the leaders of our land, especially the President and Congress of these United States, the governor and the legislature of this state of Nebraska, our mayor and community leaders, that their service may be carried out in a way that brings peace among ourselves and is a blessing to other nations of the earth. Guide them in their responsibilities, that they may be wise in their decisions and beneficial to the welfare of our country, of our state, and of our community. Lord, in your mercy,
Gracious Father, stretch forth your mighty arm to strengthen and protect those who protect and defend and serve us. We remember our police and emergency workers. So also we remember those who serve us in the armed forces, especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, and Kyle. We pray that they and all who serve would do so with honor and integrity, and that they be kept from evil and that no harm and danger would befall them. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord God, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love for your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of you, and give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gift of human life. We pray that you would look favorably upon expectant mothers, especially Amber and Aaron. Grant that throughout their time of pregnancy, that mother and child be kept safe from harm and danger, and that you may be glorified in the giving of life. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, our time is in your hands. We pray that you would look with favor upon those who celebrate birthdays this week. Be with Cheryl, Jace, Mike, Mick, Brody, Bill, and Dennis. Strengthen their trust in your goodness and bless them with your abiding love all the days of their life. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, we give thanks for the gift of marriage. We especially remember Denny and Linda, who celebrate that gift of marriage this week. Assist them always by your grace, that with true fidelity and steadfast love, that they may ever honor and keep their promises, that they grow in love toward you and love for each other through every joy and sorrow shared. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, look with mercy upon those who are increasing in years and who are homebound and shut in. We remember especially Eldine, June, Janine, Audrey, Bev, Benny, Lenora, Finiel, and Lois. Grant them hearts to accept help and increase their faith with the constant assurance of your love for them in Christ Jesus. So also we pray that by your word and Holy Spirit, that you would comfort all of those who are in sorrow, those who are in need, those who are sick or are facing adversity. We remember especially Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Hannah, Karen, Harvey, Lana, April, Margaret, Kathy, Lori, Pastor DeLoach, Gloria, Frances, Alma, Dawn, and Lauren. Be their comfort and strength, relieve their pain, guard them from all danger, and restore them to health according to your good and gracious will. But most certainly we pray that you would grant them peace in their suffering and a hope in eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, here in this place you open the gate of heaven, for according to Christ's words, your Son is bodily present with us in the sacrament of the altar. Bring us in repentance and faith to eat and drink worthily at his supper this day, and through its forgiveness and healing, to put off the old self and be renewed in true righteousness and holiness. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, we pray that you would grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.